What's up, grunge soldiers and alt-rock aficionados? Welcome to the Rock Pod. I'm Jimmy, your loyal, flannel-wearing time traveler, here to take you back to the grimiest, most sincere corner of the 1990s, a world where the guitar was loud, the jeans were baggy, and every second album had a hidden track. Today, we're diving deep into the world of Pearl Jam, a band born from grief, bathed in angst, and built to last. These guys dodged fame like it was a flaming frisbee, challenged corporate overlords, and somehow kept making music that mattered for over 30 years. So let's hit the rewind button and uncover the backstories, breakdowns, and broken amps that made Pearl Jam a band that refused to sell out, even when the world was throwing cash at their Converse. Welcome to the Rock Pod. Our story begins with a different band, Mother Love Bone. In the late 80s, Seattle was grungy, gloomy, and glorious. Mother Love Bone was a blend of glam and grit, led by the electric Andrew Wood. The man strutted around in velvet pants and glitter, calling fans Love Bone Earthlings. Guitarist Stone Gossard and bassist Jeff Ament had come from the punky garage band Green River, and they were building something big with Wood. But tragedy struck when Wood died of a heroin overdose just before their debut album, Apple, could be released in 1990. Crushed, but not defeated, Gossard and Ament teamed up with guitarist Mike McCready and made a demo. That demo eventually reached a surfer, gas station attendant, songwriter named Eddie Vedder in San Diego. Eddie, inspired, wrote and recorded vocals for three songs, known now as the Mama San Trilogy. Alive, Once, and Footsteps, and boom, Pearl Jam was born. Released in 1991, 10 didn't just explode. It reshaped rock. Tracks like Alive, Even Flow, Jeremy, and Black became the anthems of a generation. Alive is personal. Eddie learned at 17 that the man who raised him wasn't his biological father, and that his real father had died. The lyrics came from that discovery. The original meaning was dark, but fans embraced it as a survival anthem, and Eddie eventually leaned into that. The song Jeremy was based on a real boy, Jeremy Dell, who committed suicide in front of his class. Eddie read about it and turned it into a chilling, poetic statement on youth alienation. With 10, Pearl Jam found themselves in the eye of the grunge hurricane. It sold over 13 million copies, but the band was deeply uncomfortable with fame. Eddie, especially, hated being treated like a rock god. Rock pod. As their popularity soared, Pearl Jam rebelled. They refused to make music videos, clashed with Rolling Stone over airbrushed photos, and most famously, took on Ticketmaster. They believed Ticketmaster's service fees were unfair to fans, so they tried booking their own tour without using them. It was a logistical disaster, but it proved they were willing to put principles over profits. And let's not forget the drummer drama. Dave Crewson recorded 10 but left due to rehab. Matt Chamberlain did a few shows and then joined SNL. Dave Ambrosi helped with verses and Vitalogy, but his flashy style clashed with the band. Jack Irons stepped in next, and finally, Soundgarden's Matt Cameron came on in 1998 and has stayed since. Rock. 1993's Verses was raw and aggressive. It sold nearly a million copies in its first week without music videos or interviews. That's how hot they were. Vitalogy followed in 1994, blending punk, experimental noise, and emotional ballads. Better Man, one of the album's biggest hits, was written by Eddie in high school about his mother's abusive relationship. The band almost didn't put it on the album because it sounded too commercial, but Eddie fought for it, and fans connected with it deeply.
Waiting, watching the clock, it's 4 o'clock, it's got to stop, tell me.
Other songs on the album Not For You and Corduroy were critiques of fame and consumerism. Pearl Jam wasn't just evolving musically. They were pushing against the system.
Rock. Pod.
By 1996, No Code took a sharp left turn. Experimental, introspective, and genre-defying. It confused some fans, but stands as a brave artistic statement. The cover art featured 144 Polaroids. Each album had different arrangements. It was their way of making every copy unique and a jab at mass production. Yield, in 1998, marked a return to accessibility with anthems like Given to Fly and the animated video for Do the Evolution. It was wild, apocalyptic, and directed by comic book legend Todd McFarlane. By this point, Vedder was more confident, and the band was more democratic in songwriting. Binaural, in 2000, featured experimental binaural recording techniques, creating a lush, headphone-worthy experience. It was also a somber album, reflecting internal band tension and global unease. Riot Act in 2002 was politically charged. Eddie's stage antics included impaling a George W. Bush mask on a mic stand during Bush Leaguer. After nearly getting buried in an avalanche on tour, the band reevaluated their lives and work. The incident led to deeper reflection. Their self-titled 2006 Avocado album saw them raw, reinvigorated, and ready to rock again.
Rock. Pod.
Pearl Jam was never just about music. They became outspoken activists. They sued Ticketmaster, supported pro-choice causes, opposed the Iraq War, and donated to environmental efforts. Eddie joined Neil Young for an impromptu performance at the 1993 VMAs. It was unplanned, raw, and unforgettable, solidifying their rep as passionate, no BS performers. Lightning Bolt 2013 was a solid return to form with radio-ready tracks like Sirens and the punky Mind Your Manners. Gigaton 2020 was their pandemic-era reflection piece, moody, experimental, and hopeful. In 2024, Dark Matter dropped. Yes, Pearl Jam is still innovating, still angry, and still alive. And for those that may have been under a rock, where are they now? Well, they're still selling out shows, still writing, still evolving. Eddie, doing solo work, humanitarian efforts, and surfing. Jeff and Stone, keeping the band grounded. Mike, shredding and raising awareness for Crohn's. Mike Cameron, rock-solid drummer across two legendary bands. Pearl Jam isn't just a band. They're a mission statement. They taught us you can fight the system, evolve artistically, and still connect with millions. All right, well, thanks for tuning into The Rock Pod. Hit up therockpod.com, grab some merch, and crank Vitalogy until your soul feels just a little more unbroken. I'm Jimmy. Still flannel clad and still alive. We'll catch you next time, right here on The Rock Pod. All killer, no filler. If you like today's episode, smash that like button. Also, be sure to follow The Rock Pod so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes, and be sure to tell your friends about us. Want to show your support for The Rock Pod? Hit that donate button and buy us a cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. Research for this episode by me and GPT. Music by the band Silvertrip. Additional music on this episode, Better Man, Do the Evolution, Alive, and Mind Your Manners by Pearl Jam.